richness of your word, that your word would strengthen us, or your word would sustain us, Lord, that your word would bring us into unity, into maturity, equipped for every good work that you have for us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, and thank you, Thomas and Monica. We're going to pray for you very quickly, and then we're going to hand over to you. Are you both ministering this morning? Okay. Yeah. Can we reach out our hands as we pray? Yeah. Father, thank you for Thomas and Monica. Father, thank you for the journey that you've had them on, Lord. The revelation that you've given them. And Father, we pray for the release of that word today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. The topic that Monica and I would like to share on this morning is for the new year, 2025, a year of trust. See, I just want to quote firstly from the book of John, the disciple who said, I'm the one that's loved by Jesus. And the same way each one of us can say today, I am the one who's truly loved by my Father, by Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And he wrote in the chapter 14 in John, we read, that chapter starts off with saying, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and also trust in me. Don't let your heart be troubled. It's easy to say as we face life every day from morning to evening, all the challenges that come up and everything that's involved with. As Andrew said this morning, the priests weren't allowed to sweat. And we weren't created to sweat life. But we know we can't do it on our own. I think it's inherent in our life that we were born to be able to trust fully on someone. But in this world, we often trust on a person. It might be your spouse. It might be your parents. It might be a friend or a boss at work. And then as life progresses, somewhere along the line, they let you down. They don't keep their promises. Something they said that will be done doesn't happen. Or even you've prayed last year and asked God to change your situation, to restore something in your life, to bring healing to your body or healing to a loved one close to you. And it didn't come the way that we thought it would come. See, because if we trust in a person only, then we will receive disappointment along the way. We'll feel let down. But if we ask God for something, to change something in our life, to provide us with something that we really need, and it doesn't happen that way, then we can easily fall into a trap where we start to look inward at ourselves. Say, what have I done wrong? I have not deserved this that I asked of God. I should be doing something more, pray more, serve more, be more gentle, and try and change my own character. And as we know, that's not possible, and that's also not God's heart. See, the one that we can really trust in is our Heavenly Father that never changes. He is the source of life. He is the one that if he gives promises to you, they will be fulfilled. He's the one that never changes. His love is unending. He's the one that never draws a line in the sand and says, that's enough. He's the one that goes beyond that. See, we often think, I'm talking about myself first, that we know God. But I think the more time we spend with Him, I realize how little I know about Him and who He really is. Because He's so much greater, so much more gracious, so much more forgiving. so endless, filled with life that he can't wait to impart upon each one of us more than what we'd ever know. It reminds me of the last year or so when I visited my father and had coffee with him. I often was quite shocked that the areas of his life that I still didn't know, and he was already over 90 years old, living in the same town where I did. How much more have each one of us still to discover of who God really is, and not maybe the image or the picture that we have in our mind, which limits him, which limits who he really is. See, we can't trust someone unless we really know their heart. And as we get to know more of who he is, God as our loving Father, the eternal source of life that never runs dry, that is how we can start trusting him. And that changes our life. Now, who is he really? And Monica will share more about that.
Good morning. You might have realized we were in double act. Who is our Father? Is he the judgmental Father that we often think he is? Sitting with his big book, long beard, old man on his throne, checking to see what we're doing and not doing? Is he the Father that is going to bless us according to our behavior? How much we serve in church and outside of church? How much we pray, read the Bible? How long we fast? More than 3 days? That's not our Heavenly Father at all. Jesus came to reveal the Father to us. He didn't come just so that we can bypass hell and go to heaven. He came. That is actually the end goal. But he came to reveal the true nature of the Father to us and to reveal our true nature. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, they saw God differently. They saw him as the judge and not their father anymore. And they saw themselves differently. And they separated themselves from the Father. And Jesus comes. And we just sang it, all these songs, Kone, amazing for today. Jesus came and called us back to the Father and say, come to the Father. I will reveal the true nature of the Father to you. Jesus never felt unworthy. He never felt discouraged in his life. He was never worried what he's going to eat, where he's going to sleep. He was never worried that he wasn't doing his ministry good enough so that he can receive all that the Father has for him. Why didn't he? Why was he never discouraged with Father? Like we are often. The reason for that is he knew who he was. He knew that he was the beloved Son of the living God. He knew that the Father was well pleased with him. This is my Son. In him I am well pleased. The Father was pleased with him before he started his ministry. And he knew this love of the Father is going to sustain him. The life that Jesus lived was the love that he received from Father. The provision he received from Father was because he was so loved. And Jesus was revealing to us that the same love that he received from Father, we can receive. He's pouring out his love, Paul said in Romans 5:5, he's pouring out his love continuously in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But very often we cannot receive it because our mindset is not on, I am the beloved son, I am the beloved daughter of Father. Our thinking often hinders the flow of the love of God in our lives. Jesus lived his whole life out of relationship with Father. He actually said that the Son can do no thing unless he sees the Father doing it. He can do no thing. Jesus, the God that we so love and we place above all, said he can do no thing without Father. How much more do we need Father? He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and in the same measure that he was filled with Holy Spirit, so are we filled with the Holy Spirit. We've got everything on the inside that we will ever need to live the life that God has called us for. That doesn't mean we're not going to go through wilderness. That doesn't mean we're not going to have trials and tribulations. They will come because we're living here on earth. But we can be encouraged that even in our wilderness, that is the place of greatest blessings often, because that is when we can come to the end of ourselves. That is the place where we can realize that I cannot do life without Jesus. That is the place where we realize that all our self-centeredness, everything that we were thinking about, my health, my provision, my reputation, my enjoyment, will bring us nowhere unless it comes out of relationship with Father. We can think about the prodigal son. The prodigal son was incredibly self-centered. He was actually very cheeky, saying that he would like his inheritance before the father even passed away. The father was so gracious and gave him his portion of the inheritance. And he went out and he probably thought, I've made it. I've got enough money now. I'm going to live my life full of enjoyment, full of pleasure. Life is good. And we all know what happened to him. He ended up in the pigsty as a Jew, eating the foods that the pigs had. And the Bible said he came to himself. That means he suddenly realized, without my father, I am nothing. Without my father, I am nothing. And he decided that he'll go back to Father and he's going to apologize to Father and say that I've been such a bad boy. I'm so sorry. Make me one of your servants. I'm going to live with the servants. Because he realized that even the servants were living a better life than what he was living. He was living an orphan life. A life where he was all alone. So he went back to the father. And while he was still apologizing, the father just grabbed him, embraced him, kissed him. He didn't even allow the son to continue with all the explanation of how sorry he is. And the father said, no way are you going to live as a servant. You are coming home into my house and you're going to live as my beloved son. There was no court case. There was no, trial period. Sorry. There was no trial period for him. The father immediately gave him his robe that identified him as the son of the father. He gave him his signet ring, which showed him that he had full trust in his son to do business on his behalf. The son didn't have to first prove himself to be worthy to be the son of the father. And to top it all off, the father threw him a party. This bad boy, he was just wasting all the provisions of the father. He's now getting a party. I think we would all feel like the older brother and said, hey, didn't you see me do all this? I couldn't even get a skinny goat. But my brother is getting a fatted calf. That's our gracious Father. That is the loving Father who's loving us, not because we are so beautiful, not because we are so good, not because our behavior is so perfect, not because of all our accomplishments, not because of our DNA, where we come from. He loves us because He gave us life. Our DNA is Jesus. We are born of Him. We are His children. And He cannot not love us. And like any other parent, every father and mother wants to have the best for their children. And that is how Heavenly Father is. So now we say, but why are there so many of my prayers unanswered? Did I open any doors that's preventing God's blessings? Did I do something wrong? And we're waiting for God and waiting for God, and we try and work ourselves into His favor. Praying more, attending more meetings, fasting longer, serving more, trying not to think of anything worldly, trying to become so super spiritual, and we are still in lack. We are still missing things. These things are all good, but they should be a result of living in the presence of the Father, receiving His love. That's all He wants. If at the end of the year, your life, all you have done is seek the heart of the Father, that will be enough for Him. All our accomplishments are not going to count much at the end of the day if they were done outside the realm of love. It is His love. Jesus experienced the love of the Father. He didn't just know about the love. He knew His Father intimately. In the same way, for many years, a few people here will know my history, but for many years, I knew I didn't love Father. I knew I didn't like Him. I knew I liked Jesus, because after all, He's going to get me out of hell. But I didn't love Him. And it was such torture for me for years and years, actually decades, till I encountered the love of the Father. And when you encounter the love, trust comes. And you automatically have faith in what you are doing, because faith is an effortless response of what Father has already done for you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. As we focus our eyes off our circumstances, as we focus our eyes only on God Himself, everything around our life will change. I've got 5 points that I will go through quickly that are outcomes of living in the presence of God. And that is, the first one is trusting Him in all things. When we truly know our Father, when we truly know what Jesus has done for us through His life, death, and resurrection, we will totally trust Him and never have one moment of doubt or fear or worry. But then we have to take our eyes off our circumstances. We magnify what we focus on. So if we focus on what we don't have, the pain that we're going through, the agony that can be in our lives, we actually magnify exactly that. Even when we're praying to God to remove all of that. The second thing is that our hearts will be transformed. That we become more and more like Jesus. We become love to this world. What we behold, we become. Paul was writing that in the 2 Corinthians 3. And he said that when we behold him with unveiled faces, as in a mirror. So that means when we are looking at Jesus, we see ourselves reflected in him. And just looking at him, beholding him, being single-minded on him, we become more and more like him. We are transformed into his image. So what we behold, we become. What are we focusing on? The third one, our actions and our circumstances actually will change. We do what we are thinking about. So when we are so single-minded on God, his thoughts actually become our thoughts. We align our dreams. We align our will. Everything, we align it to God himself. And the decisions we take will be according to his will as we become a living sacrifice to him. We will discern his perfect, good, and holy will for our lives. Do you know, very often we come to God, that is how I did it, for ulterior motives. I wanted to still believe in God for two things. I wanted to go to heaven one day, and I wanted to have his blessings. Those are very, very self-centered desires. But most of us in this room have probably come to God for exactly the same. And it wasn't, we didn't all come to God because, wow, God is so amazing. Maybe you did. Maybe you had a miracle in your life that you suddenly, your eyes were open to the love of Father. That is how it should be. But you know, we come to the Father and we say, we really want to experience your love. And actually, we want to experience his love because we want to have a better day. Not because he's so wonderful. But God actually knows that. He's okay with that. As long as you come into his house and live in his house, he's okay with exactly that. Because he knows, when I've got you, you're going to change. He knows that as we come into his presence, as we want to focus for him and live our life for him, deny ourselves, pick up our cross, he will transform us. He transforms us into love. And whatever we do after that will just freely flow out of the love that we have for God and for people. The fourth thing is all things will be provided for us. As we seek him first, he gives us all things that we need in this life. And thirdly, we have the certainty of his love in every single situation. When things are good, he's there. When things are bad, he's there. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. I'm going to end off with what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8. He said, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? So as we head into 2025, Thomas is going to tell you how.
Thank you. Just to summarize what God has on our heart this morning for each one of us. And I want to quote what is written in Matthew 6. You see, it says there, seek me first in my kingdom and my righteousness, and then all things will be given to you and added unto you. I've got to confess that I battled with this all my life because I'm a hard-working man. I love working, like many of you. And I thought, God, where will I find enough time to seek you first? Because, you know, tomorrow morning I've got appointments to do and people waiting on me. and being on time at work and fulfilling all the promises that I gave to clients and other things that I have to accomplish, and I still have a family to care for. Because I thought these two things are separate. No, we don't make time for God. He says, seek me first, because you are mine. See, it all has to do with identity, being a son. A son that is loved, that is seen as perfect and righteous in his eyes, because Jesus made us righteous. He fulfilled everything that you and I can't fulfill, because he didn't expect us to try and change our behavior. He wants us just to open our hearts and say, Father, here I am today. I've tried it on my own. It doesn't work. But I've come to the source of life, and you are my source. So just as I had coffee dates when my dad was still living, I make coffee dates with my Heavenly Father, who's well and alive, who loves me deeply in spite of. And in those quiet moments, whether it's early morning, whether I'm driving in the car, whether I'm lying in bed, or go for a walk, doesn't matter, he's always there. And if I'm quiet enough, I hear his voice. Thomas, I've got you. And it's something I have to learn anew every day, to open up, because he's got so much more for you. Say, I want to fill you with my love, which is my being, my character, is who I am. So that you, as my beloved son and my beloved daughter, will shine the light that this dark world needs. As I fill you with my whole of my being, you will live in sonship wherever you go, and the overflow of your heart will speak what I speak to my beloved people. Your actions will reflect who you truly are, because you are the son and the daughter of the Most High, who loves you deeply. Father, thank you that you are the one that wants to bring us into fullness and into wholeness. That there will be nothing lacking in our lives. That we will trust our life, our family, everything that is dear to us, fully in your hands. That you will give us wisdom and provision. You will straighten our paths. And that we know, even if we don't have clarity for tomorrow or the answer for the problems of today, that you will bring an answer in your time. Father, thank you that it is not my power, my efforts, and my behavior that qualifies me to receive the fullness of life from you, but that Jesus came to show us that we are one. That your spirit and our spirit are co-joined, that we can live in the fullness of life right here today. Father, thank you, just as Jesus showed us that our life is not about ourselves, but it's about reflecting you to other people, that you will give us the words the open eyes and the loving heart that is not judgmental, but that is embracing even that we can't understand. See, Father's love doesn't condone our bad behavior. His love actually comes to take us out of a limited mindset, a limited life. He wants to wash away the discouragement and the despair in which we often find ourselves, to show us that in Him we've got fullness right here on earth. That carries on to impart that upon us every day, and that there's no end, because He is the Yod Hey Vav Hey, the source of life that keeps the whole universe together, that sustains you and me through everything that we go through. Father, pray that every member here today will be filled with that love that is transforming, so that we can speak Your words to one another, that we have the same thoughts about ourselves that You have of us, that we see ourselves in the same light as You see us, that You enable us to do the work that You have set before us. That the responsibility You've given to us of our families, of our work, of our friends, and duties that we have will be empowered by Your love, Your wisdom, Your energy, and Your life that never subsides. Father, thank You that You are the one who loved us long before we knew You. Thank You that Your love for us will never be dependent on our behavior, but as we grow into maturity, as Jesus modeled for us, that we can actually experience the fullness of life in and through us. You are the one that is steadfast and all is the same, so that the motive for our life will be You and only You in all situations. Let's just be quiet for a moment, for a minute or so, and each one can just speak to the Father what you want Him to reveal to you, to show you, or to fill you in you.